show is back. The only show that had the stones in Cleveland to guarantee a win against Green Bay. And by the way, not one guarantee. No. I made two guarantees on Friday, and the Cleveland Browns fulfilled the prophecy. This is Afternoon Drive. Nick Wilson with you. We got want to say a big thanks to Meredith Kane on the board.
Yes.
Also helping out with the University Hospitals. Browns Radio Network open there. I want to say a big thanks to Jake Murn, who's on the show today. Behind the glassy knoll doing the Lord's work. We got the milkman on the 2020s, Anthony Alant. And across from me, who will help me take this victory lap today as far as we can run it, which ain't far. Jake Volnick, what's up, buddy?
Hey, we're doing pretty good. I was not on the show last week. I mean, I was for updates at one point, but did not have the guarantee.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
not
listen,
be mad about it.
Listen, some people have the touch. Okay. Some people are gifted with the, you know, whether it's the third eye or the ability to see beyond, like whatever it is. Like some people just have the touch. I'm like John Edwards, the media, not the politician. I'm like that John Edwards. And I saw the future. I saw a Browns win so clearly that I guaranteed it. And let me just tell you, until about 4 minutes left in that Browns game, this was going to be the Cleveland Guardians in the first three segments of this show, because I was not going to be talking about that game with the way you were losing, with 4 minutes to go in regulation. I was not going to do that to the Cleveland fan, because quite frankly, you deserve to talk about winners on Monday. And quite frankly, the Guardians, I know they lost yesterday, but the Guardians have lived up to the winning mantra and get shafted on Mondays like this. And I'm not kidding. There's 4 minutes on the big TV. I'm watching the Guardians game on my phone. And within maybe 1 minute of real life time, I see the home run that puts the Twins ahead, and then I see the big play by Grant Delpit, and I'm like, did everybody else just feel the way the world turned in about 3 seconds in Cleveland sports?
Yeah, I was sitting there for about 56 minutes of Browns in-game action, thinking back multiple times to your guarantee, mother bleeping you up and down, being like, why would you go? Like, now we have to deal with this. And I don't personally have to, but I now have to deal with it on a Monday of going through and listening to Nick be like, oh, I guaranteed a win, and I was going to have to make fun of you for 5 hours worth of a show. And luckily, I didn't have to do that.
And the Lord stepped in and said, no, the kid was right. And the kid being me in this case, the 40-year-old kid was right.
I mean, they got away playing four. It was the greatest 4 minutes of the Brown season so far. They got away with playing 4 minutes of football on the offensive side, at least.
I do love how everyone, like the rush for the media is now, it's not sustainable the way they, yeah, no crap. That was like teams, I'm going to butcher the stat off the top of my head, but teams trailing with 4 minutes to go in the way the Browns are trailing since 2000, we're 5-223. And the Browns just got the sixth win in that time. I can always judge how a game is going and how much I'm enjoying a game. And by enjoying, I do mean I'm a nervous wreck and I'm a shell of a human being, by how much my dog Mongo sits around me. And can I just tell you, that dog multiple times came over. And at one point he was just like, I'm just going to sit here, because it seems like every time I leave, he just has another mental breakdown and another crash out. And when Andre Schmidt, who's now the chosen one, just so we know, all right, until you miss a kick, you are the chosen one, Andre Schmidt. When he kicked that, and by the way, any human being today saying, I knew it was going in, they're either lying or pandering. Because while I was doing that, I was like, okay, if he misses this and we go to, I'm like, okay, now I got to deal with this whole thing in overtime. And I was like, none of these offenses are going to score. This is going to be a tie. And I was like, I mean, can he just make this kick? No one knew he was going to make the kick. That's what makes the story so awesome. Like, that's what kills me about the, oh, I knew he was going to make it. You didn't know crap. I've watched so much Browns football. Every Cleveland Browns fan on the continent knew he was going to miss that kick, except Andre Schmidt and the good Lord himself. And anyone telling you otherwise is lying or pandering.
I was sitting there watching with my girlfriend. She doesn't love football, obviously, the same way that I love football, but she understands it. And she's sitting there and she's like, so what happens if he misses this? And I'm like,
Why would you say that?
One, don't talk to me in this moment. This is a moment of silence right now. Two, we lose. The answer is we lose. And I go, not actually, but like, there's no way we win this game if he doesn't hit this kick. So the kick is going through. I'm willing it through right now. It's going through. And I'm with you. I had no belief it was actually going to go through the uprights.
So we also live in a split household where I'm outnumbered by women who go, football again? And so Vanessa, occasionally during football games, so she's learned, stay away from Nick. On Sundays, because I am a stark raving lunatic. No matter that I have had a very realistic prediction of the Browns season, and I've said the most competitive 4-13 team on the planet, none of that. During the game, I don't want anything but the Browns to win. And so the idea that they don't, and when it really looks bad, the way I can be a real, like, don't look at me, don't talk to me, don't think about me, like, just give me space. And so Vanessa plans her Sundays to like, oh, we got to go do this for Olivia's birthday. And we got to go do, we had a Sam's Club run with about 6 minutes in this game. So you'd already gotten your 3 points. With about 6 minutes to go in the game, she goes, hey, can you help unload the truck when there's a timeout? And I, like, my eye started twitching. And then, so I did, I was a team player and I was sitting there and she started asking me just about like, okay, and this happens when this happens. And I was like, can you ask me literally any other time? And so by the time Andre Schmidt makes the game-winning field goal, the walk-off field goal, she's almost asleep on the couch. And I, when I say that I lost my ever-loving mind, it's probably not, it probably doesn't do enough to the spectacle of a 6'4", 350-pound man jumping out of his chair and screaming obscenities, to which Vanessa about had a heart attack because she was peacefully, I mean, that like twilight right before you hit sleep where you're like with the good Lord and you're calm and you're transitioning to sleep only to hear, yeah, with many, can I just say it, many expletives. Like yesterday, okay, I get it. There aren't a lot of reasons in my modern life, in my adult life, to be a Browns fan. That game is the Browns drug that keeps you holding on for the next one. Because you're like, well, they can do it. They've shown me they can do it. No matter if they can do it, it's 5 years in the rear view. You remember games like that because you're like, yes, this is why we football. And by the way, it's a great football game. It was a great football Sunday just in general with the amount of last second, holy crap moments. Baker and the Bucks had like four in the Jets game as well.
Yeah, that game was absurd. I mean, we had all of them were. Kick. Yeah, the Eagles had Jalen Carter outspreading the entire kick team for the Rams. It's like, that kid can move. That kid is moving insanely, much faster than he should be at his size. And yeah, the Jets won.
19 miles an hour. They clocked Jordan Davis.
That should not happen.
No.
Not a guy at that size. You should never move. 19 miles an hour. That's a freight train.
I watched a kid play on Friday that was about 350. We were guessing, and he's a big kid. He's a really fun kid to watch. In the Twinsburg O-line in general, it was really fun to watch on Friday. But I saw him. He was banged up. And to get into his stance, he did the chicken dance. He went down the escalator to get down in his stance. And that was the first thing I thought of with Jordan Davis, who's the same weight, going 19 miles an hour, trucking it down the field. And that's the only gripe that I have to this point is that because there were so many last second finishes and there were so many that the Browns, I watched multiple editions of SportsCenter today as I was getting work done for the day. And the earliest I saw it in the episode was 20 minutes in. Mm. And that's simply because everybody had one of those games yesterday, and the Browns game beyond those 4 minutes was caca.
Yeah, I'm honestly was sitting there, and I feel like very quickly as we recount this game, everybody's like, wow, an amazing, great 4 minutes of football. There was a time within those 4 minutes where I was sitting there going, the Browns just got screwed completely out of this game. Like, they have been taken out of the game. When I'm watching a clear fumble by Josh Jacobs be clearly recovered by Devin Bush, and they're like, play stands, fumble never happened. It's like, I can't even begin to describe how play stands is not a correct description of what I just watched, because the ball is clearly out, and the guy's practically still on his own 2 feet.
The thing that I think TikTok has captured But that regular, like the element of the TV side of things is not captured, is the like the where like you're going through so many different emotions within like 5 seconds, and then inevitably it's a there were seven of those.
Yep.
That didn't go the Browns' way in the final or in the fourth quarter, but they had just enough of them going, and that was a good. I'll just say this. I don't give a rip if it was something you can sustain. I don't give a rip how repeatable that is. For one Sunday, we got to feel what that win felt like. And we have been on the opposite side of that kind of loss so many times. I know we've got a lot to get into today. I know we have a lot, but can we just say one more time how stinking fun that was yesterday? For those 4 minutes and then like the 4 hours after, because I still hadn't come down, that I had to take another walk after like, it was like 7 o'clock at night. And I just woke up jazzed up because, of course, I fell asleep on the couch because I crashed. And I was like, I think I gotta go for a walk because I gotta get all this energy out. That was a fun day to be a Browns fan, and we don't get to say that enough.
Honestly, that game doesn't feel the same way, by the way. If you get away with that win, it's against the Miami Dolphins, right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't get that same feeling.
It had to be against the Packers or the Ravens, yeah, or the Lions, like 100%. It had to be that, the team that most people, not Nick Wilson, most people wouldn't even think they were going to be competitive in, let alone guarantee, not one, but have two win guarantees. 216-474-0092. And yes, I was right. And this is the home of I Was Right Radio. 216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at what's your handle?
Volnick Jake.
Why
do you give me this side eye? One, you've heard this like 5 times by now.
I've forgotten it. And every time I hear it, I'm like, meh. You want to put an underscore in there?
No, I don't. It's my name with my last name, then my first name.
I figured that one out. I think like everyone deduced fair. That it was your last name first and then your first name. Well, were you being ironical?
No, I actually had something different in there before, and then little.
What was it?
It was Jake, and then VUL because nobody can spell my last name properly. But then that one got taken over and was posting some not great things before we eventually got it shut
taken
down.
Taken over. I see what you're saying. Huh?
Yeah. Not quite.
Little action, little Skinamax action there. I'm not telling. 216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Volnick Jake. On social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We've got Daryl Ryder coming up at 3:20. We got Quick Hits at 3:40. Nathan Zagura at 5:20. We also have to take a couple of really big victory laps on the Guardians. That was an incredibly fun weekend. They are in a wild card spot today with multiple attempts to take the division this week. So we have to get into that success. Because again, till about 4 minutes to go in that game, this was going to be a Guardian show and not a Brown show because I wasn't doing the doom and gloom. But also want to say huge congratulations to Jonathan and Elise. They did welcome their second daughter earlier today. Mama's doing well. Baby is perfect. So we love JP. We love his family. So it's great to see everybody's doing great there. And wait till you see the picture. She is cute as heck. But 216-474-0092, how important was yesterday's win? And I think there's a way of grading it that we'll get to in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I will say, also love to see Kevin walking into the tunnel. There was a chest bump with him and Andrew Berry. Just a reminder, guys, you can let Browns fans see that because it will remind them you actually are here to win games and that you actually do care about the results. Because as soon as I saw that, both of your personal, I like you 5% more is what I'm trying to say. My point is we got Daryl Ryder coming up here in 1 hour's time. Nick Wilson, Jake Volnick here on a Browns victory Monday. And we're going to get into the Browns side of this in just a moment. But we're going to have a conversation about who needed this win the most. And I can tell you who did, Jake. But and now this is the one, and then everything else is, you know, 2B, 3A, and all that kind of crap. It's Browns fans. And I know this because so much of what has stunk the first 2 weeks of the season is that you went from, hey, you should have won that Bengals game, to you had no business being on the field with the Ravens in the fourth quarter of that game. And this is not the time of the year where let's be pragmatic about football. right? I know that if things don't go well this season, at some point in November, we're going to be having the conversation, should we still be playing X? Should we be playing this player? Do our wins actually counter to what we're trying to do now? I know that if this goes to the lesser result of what we hope it's going to be this year, that's going to be the conversation. That should never be the conversation in September. And so, as a Browns fan, I needed that win on Sunday. And I just feel like, as bad as the organization did, and boy, are they taking victory laps on beating Green Bay, as bad as they needed it, I don't think anyone needed it more than Browns fans who, again, if you had lost yesterday, that would have been, oh gosh, carry the two, 3-16, 3-17 in your last, you know, year and a half. Browns fans and myself as a Browns fan needed that in the worst way.
Yeah, I mean, I think Browns fans in general had reached like a point of apathy 2 weeks in, right?
Yeah.
Where you just had given up most of your faith on the season because you saw, okay, even in a game where it looked like the offense obviously didn't look great in week one, but they functioned in a way that they were picking up first downs. They're creating long drives. This was kind of the recipe. You needed to eliminate the interceptions. You needed to make kicks, but we can't even win that game. And then we get blown out by a legitimate Super Bowl contender. Where's this thing going? And I mean, that was the feeling across the station. Like, hey, we're all sitting here being like, where's the positive spin? How can we get somewhere without a win that's actually, you know, a positive feeling on the Browns? Because I think even most people sitting around here where we want to have the positive spin, we want to, I mean, we sit here and talk football no matter what, as do most Browns fans for the next, you know, 14 plus weeks. You needed something, and I feel like almost nobody felt it was going to be there. You desperately needed this. Like, you needed this in the worst way possible just to, it's like when you talk about basketball and you're shooting one and a shooter just needs to see one go through. It's like, we needed to see one go through, not even for the next one's coming, just to be able to be reminded, oh, we can do that.
Well, and I think you heard in Kevin Stefanski's little, that sounded demeaning. What I meant was his post-game speech there, the little blurb of that is what I was trying to say there. I think you heard how bad he knew he needed that. There was the I was right element of that. There was the, I told you guys that there was a good team lurking here for us. Winning does take belief, and winning is contagious, right? I don't think the Browns, like, I thought people saying, oh, the young players playing well is like a silver lining. I thought that was disingenuous. No. That's incredible that so many young players are having such an impact early in the season. That's not like a silver lining. That's a real thing to be jonesed about. But the longer you get into it, that becomes a silver lining to guys who might not be here next year or certainly might not be here 3 years from now. And to watch that team, again, just never give up and then have the payoff of actually coming back, no matter how fluky and by the way, wasn't the Love interception wasn't fluky. You've been getting pressure on him all day, and that wore on him as the game went on. The byproduct of how you won might be fluky, but the individual plays where you had success were not. Shelby Harris is a kick blocking, he might be a kick block Hall of Famer with the way he's blocked so many kicks in his career. Not fluky. That was just good play. Even if in totality, the win feels a little, well, that's a once in a 25 year kind of win. But no, I think Kevin needed that win so that guys would believe that they could win. Because if you lose that, you go from maybe the most competitive 4-13 or 6-11 or 7-10 team in the NFL to being the least competitive of that, whatever your record is. And that's how the backslide happens early in a season and how you really struggle to get back to where you need to be.
Hey, Nick, I talked about it last week. I mean, I was listening to guys like Harold Fannin say they still have belief in Joe Flacco. They still have belief in the offense. I was listening to the defense say all of the right things when the guys would come to talk, be like, no, you know, we're working through things. We just need to make sure we're doing our job. Defense needs to be better. And I was like, okay, you can say those things. How long does that really last, right? Yeah. Like, the frustration for the defense has to build. For pass catchers and guys like Harold Fannin, who has looked good so far and has not been one of the guys plagued by drops, it's like, that has to get frustrating at some point, that you go out there, you're putting out a good product, and nothing is matching. And for the whole defense, you're playing at an exceptional level, and the offense, can't even go through and do the most basic of things. Mm-hmm. Like, that would have to wear on you. The win, I don't know that it fixes it. It resets it.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, okay, not even if the offense, they didn't play that great, obviously, for a majority of that game, even, you know, you probably say the entirety of that game. They didn't play that great. But we saw a win. Like, there is something here that The offense doesn't even have to play great. They just have to be better than they were. And that's not that, you know, unreasonable of a thing to think could actually happen even in the next couple of weeks.
Well, and that's what's tricky about where the Browns are, because I'll push back. They did play great. That is as good as a defense can play against a offense that I know Jaden Reed's out, but they've got dudes for days. Jordan Love is a good quarterback. But that is as dominant as a front four can play. And we can mention the guys that start, but it goes even into their depth. They were tremendous doesn't even feel like you can really, like, that is as good as a defense can play. And in fairness, by the way, Green Bay also had a lot of success and made a lot of really great plays, but you could tell, like, their offensive line, their defensive line was having success because, oh, KT Levinson's just going to let Rashawn Gary walk into the backfield. Whereas you, like every one of your guys, they did a decent job of protecting the Browns yesterday. It just didn't matter. Oh, we're going to triple team Miles. Cool, this is Mason Graham's play, or this is Isaiah McGuire's play, or this is Alex Wright's play, or the Carson Wessinger play, which got called back, by the way, where he shadows. I can't remember who the defensive tackle was, but he just kind of snuck in. I watched it happen in real time, and I called it out because I was like, oh, they're not going to see that Carson Wessinger is basically just being kind of shadow blocked by his own teammate. And he snuck through, and it was still one of the smartest plays I've seen a rookie ever make, and for him to be a linebacker. But no, to me, like, that's what I think has killed Browns fans, is you see that there are some things here. You see the defense. You do see individual bright spots here and there beyond just your front four. And so that was another thing. Like, Kevin Stefanski has to go in every week and look that defense in the eye and tell him, hey, I've got the offensive game plan that is going to win this. I don't know he could do that this week if he didn't have this win and this exact thing. And Quinshon Judkins score that touchdown, which I think gives you some hope offensively. Andre Schmidt kicking that field goal to win the game, which reinstitutes the belief that this kid can make those kind of kicks. Like, it's been the defense on an island for a fair amount of this season, so to see them have that success is a huge benefit to what Kevin Stefanski's trying to speak to. And that's why, like, okay, did Joe Flacco need that win? You bet your sweet bippy he did. Did the defense need that win? You darn tootin' they did. Everyone needed that win. Browns fans, if we're talking about, needed that win. But after we get past the Browns fans, Kevin needed that win to push that hope further into the season.
Yeah, I think you also needed, when you talk just head coach in general, Kevin was on the brink of losing 9 games in a row.
Yeah.
Their last win came in week 12 of last season against the Steelers. I don't know too many coaches that get into a season, right? If you were to break this down and make it instead of across two, just into one season, and you go a year and you go off a 9-game losing stretch that still has a job that next week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 9 games straight will lose you a job. I wasn't going to lose it here in Cleveland. Like, Kevin was going to be your coach in week 4. I don't have any doubts about that.
Yeah, but you can lose your job before they fire you.
Right. Like, you could completely lose the locker room, and there could be a feeling among ownership and even, you know, upper management of being like, yeah, Kevin's losing too much. Like, he's probably going to be gone. It's not the right moment right now.
Do you agree, by the way, that Kevin needed that win more than anybody else in the organization?
Yeah.
Would you put Joe above him?
I don't think that Joe needed that win. I think in the way that they won that game, I don't know how much that win actually even helps Joe.
I think, to what you're saying, I think that win might have been a stay of execution for Joe. I don't know how much winning that game actually helped Joe, because Joe did so little to... And by the way, he did a lot of the little operational stuff that they talk a lot about, but in way of game-winning throws, game-winning plays, Joe was behind the eight ball for most of that day, and a lot of it comes down to the fact he clearly does not trust his offensive line, and so he was passing up the big plays that actually were there.
I mean, I think they broke it down on the broadcast. There was the check down to the middle of the field. I can't remember who he completed it to, but I think it was Jerry Jeudy was running wide open across the middle of the field on a post, or it was Isaiah Bond, and he just... I mean, went through so early, and he had the protection to get the deep throw there. It's like his eyes weren't even thinking about making that throw. How quick can I get this out?
There was the 3rd-and-7 audible where he checked into Dylan Sampson on a little run on 3rd-and-7 when they clearly had a pass play. And I saw Micah Parsons just giddy up and getting ready and almost going to – it looked like he was going to jump across the line of scrimmage at one point. And I was like, oh, this is going to be in – and as I was thinking, this is going to be in Joe's head, I saw him check down, and I was like, oh, I wonder what he's audibling to. And then he audibled to a Dylan Sampson run. That was the offensive line being in Joe's head.
Yeah, 3rd and 7 to Dylan Sampson. I like Dylan Sampson, who didn't have a big impact in that game. I'm not running the ball on 3rd and 7 to yes. Dylan Sampson. He's getting knocked over.
Yeah. Like, especially early in the game when you need to be more aggressive if you're going to beat a team that has that much talent that could be a Super Bowl winner still.
Yeah, like, again, we talk about which guy has they needed this win more. Like, I think Joe needed that for partial of the confidence, but is anybody walking around today being like, oh, thank God we had Joe Flacco to, you know, orchestrate us through that win, even if he did do good things, which, again, operationally, I thought he did. He did a good job not to put the ball into harm's way outside of the end of the first half. There's 2 seconds on the clock, and I make a bad throw that it doesn't really matter. They're not scoring off this drive. But, like, he protected the ball well. He did what Tevin asked him to do in most of those scenarios, but I didn't walk away from that game going, well, Joe looked great, and he was a big reason why we won.
Yeah, like, I could see this kind of win being the thing that we look back in week 18 and say, that was a turning point. Even if it's just turning point in terms of competitiveness, like, hey, that was a moment where that really did something for Kevin and that team staying in the season. With Joe, I can see this being a game where it was like, that's the first time that I realized he's a bigger part of the problem than we wanted to, and that maybe kept him in the pocket for another week. Like, this is maybe for Joe Flacco a 1 week reprieve, whereas for Kevin Stefanski, this can have, I think, season long repercussions if this truly did remind these guys that they can win here. 216-474-0092. Let's go with Peter in Eastlake. Peter, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Oh, good afternoon, gentlemen.
It is a great afternoon, Peter. Welcome.
Pulling that Uno reverse on the Packers at the end was just fantastic. My wife was out shopping. She was at Costco. She missed the entire game. She came home with 5 minutes left, and she goes, how are the Browns playing? I say, like, crap. And then she walks in, and then, you know, field goal, interception. She goes, well, they just tied it up. I was like, well, then you can't go to Costco on Sundays anymore, I guess. I differ from most people, but I think that they should ride this wave of momentum and pull the trigger and start one of the rookies next week. Okay. Because if you don't start them next week, you can't start them against the Vikings or the Steelers. The Vikings, you know, they're good and they're already going to have played in England. So they're going to be rested. They're going to be used to the time difference. When we play the Steelers in Pittsburgh, they're coming off of a bye, okay? The Lions are playing the Ravens tonight. The Lions are going to get the hell beat out of them by the Ravens. I mean, yes, they're going to inflict some punishment on the Ravens themselves, but the Ravens play everyone tough. The Ravens beat the hell out of everyone. I think now is the time to pull the trigger on the rookie. I think ride the wave of momentum and get some gumption to this offense and see what happens.
So I think a lot of people are where you are, Peter. I'm still trying to do the thing, and I appreciate you. I was ready to bench Joe at halftime. I really was. And this is a bigger conversation we can have as the show goes on. But I will tell you, Kevin saying multiple times in the last 24 hours, after there was a report on Sunday that Tommy Rees and Kevin had considered benching Joe Flacco leading into that game, I think it's wild that he already came out and said, definitively, we're sticking with Joe Flacco. I think that is something that absolutely could have a huge impact over the next couple weeks here. 216-474-0092. Who needed that win more? Kevin Stefanski or Joe Flacco? Alex in Worcester, you stick there. A little bit of NFL news, breaking NFL news. Nick Bosa will be out for the rest of the season. He tore his ACL. The 49ers yesterday said they felt like he was actually going to avoid the big injury. Well, that turns out to be all for naught. Nick Bosa out for the year with an ACL tear. When we come back, it's no longer just a silver lining for these Cleveland Browns. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I really had gotten to a point where I was almost getting defensive when people would talk about, lauding the rookie play as some sort of silver lining, because it was like, guys, young players stepping up as rookies and an entire rookie class delivering in their first year, that's huge. Like, that's how you jumpstart, and it goes from a we're doing a rebuild to now we're retooling to maybe we're just winning again. Like, that's how, when you have six guys at any point that can give you that kind of an impact as a rookie, like Mason Graham, like Aiden Huntington, like Carson Schwechinger, like either rookie running back Quinshon Judkins or Dylan Sampson, Harold Fannin Jr., there are other young guys making the case here that's like winning yesterday kind of also proves the point of like, hey, we're not just silver lining this. Them showing up this early and playing this early with this kind of success is more than just a silly silver lining or something that only homers look into.
Yeah, I mean, think about what the sort of statement was. Obviously, the Browns said they were going to compete this year, but we all know really what the path back to victory it is. It is trying to reopen that window faster than most teams can reopen that window by taking a bunch of young players and making them immediately impactful. This is the first wave of those sort of players, having a first-round pick back, getting the second-round pick in the Jaguars trade. You've turned that into a new, what looks to be very early on, core of players that is going to contribute to you hopefully for a long time.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I think we know the difference. We've seen so many guys come in here and pop for a short amount of time. We've been like, oh, that was a really good play, right? Or that was a really good couple of plays. Guys, Mason Graham outside of like one or two series as a rookie has been a dog. Like he was, and yesterday was as active as he's been penetrating the line of scrimmage. So like the pass rush is starting to come too. And at one point I was like, well, maybe it's just Derek Brown. Like, he's a guy that just is an incredible, incredible run blocker. And then you just don't see his numbers show up in the sack column. I think yesterday showed he's right on his way. Schlesinger is, I mean, holy crap good. And for him to be the middle linebacker and play the way he is holy crap. Quinshon looks like the franchise at running back very early on. Like, these aren't flashes. These are full-blown, really good games across the board. And then Huntington is flashing. And then Sampson is flashing. I think Fannin Jr. is doing more than flashing. But again, if you want to put him in that column too, like, you've got three guys that are just balling out. And then are the three guys that are giving those glimpses that you need.
Yeah, honestly, like, you go through and I think I take a look and I think which guys had the best days yesterday. Like, I'll probably start with Grant Delpit. I think Grant Delpit, one, played really well throughout the game and bringing down Josh Jacobs a few times, playing up in the box. Obviously came up with a massive interception. Almost probably four names after that. Probably go straight to rookies with Miles mixed in there. Yeah. Like, that's incredible to put. Like, it's not like you look around and this team's just filled with just rookies playing too. Like, you have guys like Denzel Ward. You have Devin Bush in this game. You have, you know, an offensive line that is little banked up, but also has, you know, three healthy veterans playing on it in that game. And I'm still turning and going, Mason Graham had a great day. Carson Schlesinger had a great day. Quinshon Judkins had an incredible day.
216-474-0092. Who needed that win more yesterday, Kevin Stefanski or Joe Flacco? I will say, if you answer Joe Flacco, the one way I might agree with you is I think he gets benched if you lose that game. So maybe he did need it a little bit more. I just think that it's a kind of win that can really buy you buy-in for a significant part of the next couple games, which is what Kevin needs to keep these guys motivated. Let's go with Jeffrey in Chesterland. Jeffrey, welcome to the show.
How you going? How you doing, guys?
Much better today because I get to talk about a Browns win and a great Guardians weekend.
I haven't had this feeling in a while, right?
almost a full year? Is that about how long we've waited?
Yeah, I mean, pretty close to it.
Oh, unbelievable. But, you know who really needed this victory? I think it's, besides Joe and Stefanski, I think it was the whole team, first of all, the fans, the city. But I'll tell you who deserved this win. The defense deserved this win, man. The way they've been playing week after week now, and they needed a win to keep their spirits up. I mean, you can't just be playing like that and not getting any wins. So that's my contribution to this, and I'm so glad the Browns won.
Jeffrey, happy Browns victory Monday, buddy.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Have a good one, buddy. This goes back to the Stefanski part of it for me. That defense, it is just human existence that tells us when you play that well up front and then you keep losing, it's really hard to keep that level of play. And so those guys believing, and again, like, if you say that that's 80% on the defense, 10-15% on special teams, and then like 5% of Quinshon Judkins, and give no credit to Kevin, give no credit to Joe, you will not be getting an argument from me because the defense deserves so much of that credit. But that goes into it. Like, all right, now the defense has shown, hey, if we keep teams into it, if we keep them into it at the end of the games, things can happen and we can create that victory. And it, of course, even more so with Grant Delpit, who we also had a Greg Newsom thought it was going to be a scoop and score. I thought it was as well. But Delpit's interception being a huge part of that is no coincidence either.
Yeah, I think when we look at this and we talk about how important it is for Kevin, and you talk about the entire team aspect, I think it's because you look at it and, yes, it's hard to keep up the defensive play. I also think it creates like a dichotomy in the locker room, right? Where you have Jim Schwartz coaching a defense that is uber talented with a bunch of young players on it that are all showing up, all performing. They're rotating guys in and out. It's a deep unit. It just keeps going and keeps doing their job and then more. And then you have the offense and it's like, okay, that's little brother, right? Like it is all defense sitting in one way where you're on the high pedestal and you're looking at them as little brother being like, yeah, when you guys want to come up and play, that'll be great. But I basically need you to reform this entire unit or give me an entirely new offense just to spark any sort of life and get us to want to play at this level.
Also, if you're going to be here for the next 4 hours, don't say deep unit again or I will giggle. 216-474-0092. I kept the smile from breaking on my face till you turned your eyes away. And I was like, okay, I'm safe to smile here.
I saw it. I saw it immediately take your face. There was no hiding it.
There was a delay. How dare you? There was a delay. When you said deep unit, and then I waited maybe a half second, but there was a delay. Thank you very much. Alex in Worcester, who needed that win the most yesterday?
All right, great, fantastic. You know, that was the first time all morning and actually going into the afternoon that I heard that, I heard Jim Schwartz's name. So at the end of the day, you know, I believe Jim Schwartz needed this win so he can get his name back up there. It's just been a fantastic defensive head coach. And so, you know, I'm just going to say some numbers here, and these are facts. You know, I'm not assuming anything like that. You know, total defense, they are ranked number one, okay? Rushing defense, they are ranked number one, only allowing 45.5 yards per game. Yards per play, second, allowing 3 yards per play. Sacks tied for fifth with 11. Passing defense, third, allowing 146. I can keep going on and on and on. And I just want everyone just to, you know, take a seat for a second and see what this guy has been doing. And if anything ever happens with Kevin Stefanski, and I'm not, you know, I'm not the type of guy, you know, like getting people fired or anything like that, or, you know, in that case, but Jim Schwartz, I think at the end of the day, something needs to happen with Kevin Stefanski. I believe that Jim Schwartz should stand up and take the realm. I mean, the guy has done an incredible job. I mean, a fantastic job. And his name isn't, like, just being spoke of. I'm hearing Kevin Stefanski, Garrett, and all these things. And just, what, 2 minutes ago, you finally said his name.
Alex, real quick, buddy, and we appreciate you because we are up against it. I have to say, the future head coaching stuff, we'll set that aside. I think what makes Jim Schwartz so incredibly impressive to what he's done as the head defensive coordinator is every time you go up against some of the best offensive minds in the NFL, he did it with Kyle Shanahan last year, which this Green Bay win has gotten a lot of comparison to. And now Matt LaFleur, who again, probably one of the most underrated offensive minds of the young offensive minded head coaches in the NFL, he shuts them down in a way that other defensive coordinators don't. And now, whereas like last year, you would give up some gash runs, and 2 years ago, you could give up some big plays, this was a game you didn't do that in. And Jim Schwartz deserves so much credit for so much of the success over the last 3 years with this Browns defense. 216-474-0092. Who needed that win most? And Cleveland's success went far beyond the Browns win this weekend. The Gardos, big weekend, and a salute to them as well in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.